Okay, we're going to shift gears now, and we are going to talk about something totally different. We've got, who all have we got? We've got Kelly McHugh, and who have we got? Penelope Bags? Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to talk about something with small town big art and a big presentation that's coming up on Friday, April 1st. That's not an April Fool's thing, is it? We aren't going to go to the theater and nothing's going
to
happen.
I know you really want this to be April Fool's, Susie, but this is no joke. We're doing this thing.
Very good. Very good. I'll let you introduce. Well, Kelly is the president of Maui Public Arts Corps.
Hmm.
And she is a recent new member of the Nonprofit Directors Association.
I am. Thank you, Susie.
And she's got this big presentation coming up on Friday, which just absolutely sounds fabulous. And it is marked in red, green, yellow, purple on every calendar I have. But you know what I did? I put the wrong time down.
Hmm.
So now I know it's from 4 to 5:30. At the EAL Theater.
Sure is.
And I'm going to let you introduce your guest.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave the show in your hands to talk about what we're going to hear and find out on Friday.
With great power comes great responsibility. Penelope, are you ready for this?
I think so.
So this Friday, April 1st, not an April Fool's joke. Myself with my partners Erin Wade and Sissy Lake Farm, who together form an initiative called Small Town Big Art, which is Wailuku Town's creative placemaking program, will take to the stage of EAL Theater to present a series of six animated stories. And these stories were recorded at Akaku by six pairings of intergenerational extraordinary individuals in our community. So for example, Hokuau Pellegrino sat with Uncle Cliff Naiole. Anuhea Yagi sat with Roselle Bailey. Skippy Howe sat with Dean Tokishi, right? So we had six of these pairings, these intergenerational pairings. Through a rigorous training with StoryCorps, which is a nonprofit based out of Brooklyn, we came up with a group of questions with the goal of finding an authentic moment of connection between these two people. So they sat in the studio at Akaku, had a 40-minute conversation geared to find that moment of authentic connection. Then Akaku took those long recordings and boiled them down to 2 to 4 minute segments. And that became our recent call to artists. So artists applied to Small Town Big Art for the opportunity to turn one or more of these conversations into a work of public art.
Wow.
And so one gentleman in particular named Richard O'Connor, who runs his animation studio out of Brooklyn, New York, created animations of all six stories. So we'll be premiering those at EAL Theater. And we're hoping by showing these two things happen. One, people recognize the power of words and storytelling, right? And connecting with fellow community members. And two, that they feel inspired to share their own stories, ideally with us, so that we can continue to offer them to prospective artists to turn into works of visual or performing arts for the public. And that's where my friend Penelope Bags comes in, who was, called to us, right? You and your cohort from Ball State University out of Indiana found us. Penelope was born and raised here, and she introduced Small Town Big Art to her cohort and thought, maybe this should be our master's project. And I'll let you kind of take it from here, Penelope.
Yeah. So I was on the lookout for a project partner. With my program, we get to work for a whole year on a project that eventually gets released out to the public. We get to work with our team. It's really great. And they allow the students to also offer our ideas for these projects. And one of my classmates, who's on the team now, Ashley, she really pushed me to present this as a proposal to our department, and I was so tired. I was in grad school, and I was like, Ashley, I don't think I can do this. But she got it worked out for me, and we presented it, and people were so excited about this opportunity to work on storytelling on Maui. And we have so much going on here, like historically and in the present as far as stories go. And in looking for a project partner, I came across Small Town Big Art, and Kelly got back to me pretty quickly. And the first conversation I had with her was just like chicken skin. I was like, we have to have them as a project partner. Like, it was too perfect. It was perfect timing because they had done these story projects. They were going into like working with StoryCorps and making these stories, and it was just, I don't know, divine timing, I guess. Yeah. So it really, really worked out really well. And yeah, so we set out with a team of 8 people who have backgrounds all over the place. There's graphic designers, there's people who've done marketing. We're all studying, though, what's called user experience design or UX design. And transmedia storytelling. So I know those are very technical terms. But really that just means we're creating experiences and we are working within the realm of storytelling and how it can operate in more places than just in a book or on a screen. So yeah, we should I just keep talking about our project?
Yes. Specifically what folks should experience maybe on Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Friday night we're going to be revealing basically what our whole year long of research, community interviews, we created prototypes, which is really just like a rough draft, and then we brought our rough draft to the community and we asked people, what do you think of this? And then they gave us their feedback and we changed it, and then we brought another rough draft and we said, what do you think of this now? And we did that a couple of times, and sometimes we had to let go of our darlings, but we had ultimately had to go with what the community was saying and what worked. So on Friday, you guys are going to see the final rough draft, and we're going to present that to the community. It's a storytelling experience. It's designed to facilitate storytelling between people. So there's a few ways we do that. We have a couple of ways we want people to engage with it. So the first is called a talk experience, and you're given a set of questions to get people talking to each other. And that's really all that we wanted to do. And the reason that we wanted to go that direction is because when we started doing community research in the very beginning, we would just ask someone a question and they would just go on about, like, when I was growing up in Wailuku, I remember like the police officer who would help us cross the road on the way to school. And, you know, and they just started going into these stories. And some of these people were, I've known since I was a baby, right? Like, I asked, like, you know, people around me, and I had never heard these stories. My mom, this is her best friend, she'd never heard these stories. And we just thought it was a really cool experience to get these stories from people and to have those moments of sharing. So we really wanted to create an experience where that could happen for everyone. Another aspect of the project is what we call Go. So we will encourage people to go to certain spots in Wailuku, and when they arrive, they can listen to a story about that place. Hmm. Some of these stories are more historical focused, and some of them are very personal, based on people's experience with the place. And I won't tell you too much because I want you to come on Friday and hear more. And then the final piece of this is called Create. So we wanted to give people an opportunity to submit their own stories and to have a database where people can, the public, can look through the stories that were submitted, you know? So if you're, like, talking with your grandpa and he's telling you this, like, amazing story, and you're like, grandpa, like, let's record this and submit it because, like, people want to hear this, you know? People want to hear about how things were or, like, your experience with the place. So we wanted to created an environment where people could share those stories, not only with their family members, but if they feel comfortable, the community.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Fascinating. On that note, we've got to take a short break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk lots more about Friday.
Over 60,000 people in Hawaii are family caregivers for someone with Alzheimer's disease. Offer help by sharing the local resources available through the Alzheimer's Aloha chapter. Share our helpline number, which is 24/7, and can connect you to local classes and support groups. The number is 1-800-272-3900. 800-272-3900.
The Maui Historical Society and Haleho Ike Ike at the Bailey House invite you to help preserve the Hawaiian culture of Maui, Lanai, Molokai, and Kahoolawe. Visit Maui's oldest and largest museum, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and for shopping opportunities only, Mondays and Wednesdays from 10 to 2. Make an appointment at mauimuseum.org. We all have a stake in preserving Maui's history. Join the Maui Historical Society. Remember, preserve, inspire.
Teacher. And we are back. This is Maui Nonprofit Notes, the weekly radio show where we talk story with our nonprofit executive directors and their staff to find out what's going on in their world. Today we're discovering the world of Small Town Big Art, Maui Public Art Corp.
Yep.
And the Ball State. What was the name? You had a group name.
Yeah, so our department is called EMDD, which stands for Emerging Media Design and Development. Uh-huh. But we're calling our project Small Town Big Stories, and we're working with Small Town Big Art.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Every place has a story, and you right. uncovered a bunch of them.
We sure did. And I have to say, I mean, it was not an easy feat to get these 12 people in a room together, two at a time. Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it's a vulnerable moment or a terrifying moment. Mm-hmm. Or some people feel like, what do I have to say that's so important? Right. And Penelope's sitting here nodding. Mm-hmm. So when she came to me initially and said, is there a problem that my cohort can solve for you? The problem began with, how do we inspire or motivate people to tell a story? Part two, how do we capture that story? And part three, how do we then share that story, right? And so they've come up with this really unique and engaging and colorful and fun and accessible tool that will hopefully allow us to continue to collect these stories. And I think one of the other reasons we started with the heavies, which is what we call our VIPs, the heavies, yeah, is because these animations are coming directly from one of StoryCorps' all-star animation teams. And we just really wanted to start off at a level 10, right? Like these are the possibilities of just sitting down and having a chat. Someone takes a snippet and turns it into this gorgeous work of art. I've reviewed a couple of them, and I'm so happy I did ahead of time because I've burst into tears, which is a new thing for me. They're just so beautiful. So I'm really excited for people to, A, experience what I've experienced, right, the results of this artwork, and B, learn really specifically from Penelope and her team that are flying from all over the world to be here for this presentation at Iao Theater on Friday, and feel, like I said, inspired or motivated to take advantage of this tool that right now we're just showing how it's going to work and what it's going to look like. But Penelope, if you want to talk a little bit about when it's going to be rolled out and what that's going to look like, how people mm-hmm. will know when they can use this thing.
Yes. So as I mentioned before, what we are showing you on Friday is our final rough draft, or what we like to call a high fidelity prototype. And this is our final round of testing. And so it's our last chance to really get feedback from the community. So if you want to experience it, you can come on Friday during the presentation. And then we're also going to be at Wailuku Coffee Company from 12 to around 3 on Saturday. And then I believe we'll be at 62 Market Street on Tuesday morning to be testing this with the public, because we want to see how it works. And then once we get that feedback, we'll go back, we'll make the changes that we need to make, and hopefully we will have something in the last week of April to distribute to the community. And you will be able to find these in retail stores, in restaurants, basically any business in Wailuku that is willing to have us. So if you're listening to this and interested in having, what we'll have is a box of cards that
free.
We'll have that are free, that will have the Wailuku murals on them, some of the selected Wailuku murals that we have. Through looking at the piece and the artist statement, we've interpreted a value or a topic. And from that value or topic, we've created the storytelling questions that you can ask the people in your group, your family members, etc. And yeah, we're going to be distributing those cards, boxes of cards around, and you'll be able to pick them up and start using the activity.
Yeah.
Hopefully last week of April, first week of May.
Yeah.
And get the conversation started.
Yeah.
So then if somebody has a, all of a sudden Grandpa has this story that you've never heard before,
mm-hmm.
but was inspired because of these questions,
mm-hmm.
what do we do with it?
Do you want to answer that question?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be where the create aspect of our activity comes in. So we have developed a couple different ways for people to submit stories. So you can either just press a button and record it and talk into the phone. You can submit a photo or a video. It doesn't have to be a photo or a video of yourself. It can be any photo or video. And then you can also write out your story. Mm. So we wanted to make sure it was accessible to everyone. And so, yeah, you can find one of the cards, scan the QR code, and then that will allow you to go to the Create Experience and upload your story.
Cool.
And then we're hoping Small Town Big Art and Maui Public Art Corps are hoping that our next RFP, our request for proposals, goes out in May, if not May, June. And ideally, folks in the community have utilized Penelope's cohort's tool to give us stories, to feed us stories, and we'll curate kind of a short list of stories that people can select from to create their next work of public art anywhere in the community, right? Because now we have a grant to expand beyond Wailuku. So we're very rigorously looking for new partnerships in other towns and neighborhoods.
Ah, so all the stories don't all have to come from Wailuku anymore.
Not anymore. Now
yeah.
We are expanding, baby.
Countywide.
Yeah. Yeah, and we started that a little bit with some of the folks that participated in this pilot Small Town Big Stories process. So Kepa Mali is originally from Lanai, and now he lives in Hilo. And he came to me saying, I don't know that I should be a part of this. I'm not a Wailuku person. But Sissy, who's a core partner with Maui Historical Society, felt very strongly, now is the time, right? Now is the time to be spreading our wings a little bit and ensuring a little bit more inclusivity, specifically because we're seeing that demand loud and clear. Yeah.
And so he's going to be talking about Lanai.
Actually, he speaks with Lopaka White, who I know rather well.
Yeah.
About Iao Valley.
Oh, okay.
And about how the word can mean very different things depending on the use of diacriticals.
Oh.
And it is such a cool animation. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So they talk a lot about language in their story.
So I'm getting a picture here, and I could be way off base, but I'm getting a picture here of we're going to be kind of all over the place with ages, time-sensitive information that can go way back or
yeah.
can go back just a little bit. And what you're picking up is the vision of that story. And we're going to get the whole works in front of us Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the six pieces that Richard and his team created, so there are different artists that helped him with each of the six different pieces, are also approached very differently depending on what the two individuals were talking about. So the artist is thinking about color value, kind of line density, representational versus more playful, right? Or it's just really, you kind of have to be there to get it. And that being said, I'll also be installing still frames from all of his animations at Wailuku Coffee Company on Friday. And Jackie Goring, who owns Wailuku Coffee Company, has been gracious enough to allow us to keep those on display there for a full month.
Oh.
And each of those, there'll be 18 by 24 kind of poster size stills from each of Richard's animations. We'll have a QR code on it that you can scan, and that will take you directly to the animation. So we have kind of a little bit of a physical exhibit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this Friday night world premiere, and then we'll have them all over our social media outlets.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're loving this, aren't you?
Can you tell?
This is when I wish we had a camera in here so everybody could see between the two of them. It's just, I don't know, it's so cool to see what's happening. What started out as a simple art project.
Construction mitigation? What started as that?
Let's call it that. Because of what was going on here.
Yeah.
And it just, it's turned into something so much more.
Yeah. We're definitely talking a lot about small town big art 2.0 right now with the introduction of Penelope and her cohort and Richard's team out of Brooklyn. And we also just celebrated a mural and contemporary dance unveiling a few weeks ago that was inspired by one of these talk story recordings as well. So we just feel like it's getting so much bigger than us right now. And we recognize that other folks in the community are finding places where they feel that they can be included and just running with it. And that is very exciting for us. Please run with it. We want to see this spread, right?
Right, so. Right. Come now, do you get phone calls from people saying, hey, I got an idea? Is that starting to happen?
Not as much as you might think.
Oh, okay.
I do try to put out as many invitations for ideas as possible. But what I find, and I'm putting on my marketing hat now, right, rather than my arts admin hat, is people need points of reference, right? And this is something Penelope and I have talked a lot about throughout this project, too. You want me to tell a story? What does that mean? What does that look like? Mm. Right? Is this an oral history project? That's too intense. I don't have those credentials. No, just talk story. Well, what do you want us to talk story about, right? So then we spend 3 months coming up with some sample questions. And then they don't use any of them. They have them. Now they're
right.
Like, oh, now I get it. Right?
Now, it sparks their creativity.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah. So you have to put out a lot of kind of options and teasers into the universe until people find one, right, that means something to them, that just sparks an idea in them. And the people on my side or Penelope's side are probably thinking, we've been saying the same thing all along, but for some reason, right, that's the one that you... that had gave you your aha moment, yeah?
Right.
So it's those little, you know, mechanisms. And Penelope, as a transmedia storyteller, probably knows this better than anyone because she's so immersed in this study right now, right? If you want to talk about what transmedia storytelling is.
Yeah. So transmedia storytelling basically means continuing the story across different mediums. So it's a little bit different than multimedia, because multimedia looks like, okay, here's the same story in a book, and here's the same story in a movie, and maybe it's in a photo or somewhere else, right? But transmedia, what we do is we, and I would argue that Small Town Big Art is a transmedia project. And this is what our professor, who worked for the New York Times and was a photojournalist and amazing storyteller, he actually developed this idea of transmedia existing outside of, like, big Hollywood. but, yeah, so it can look like stories existing in murals, and then that story of Wailuku, or of Maui, is continued in these DIY story court stories, and then it's continued in these questions and the dances, and they all come together to tell a story about Wailuku and about Maui, but it exists in all these different mediums, and you can dive deeper into it depending in which direction you go. So that's my way of describing transmedia storytelling.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's fascinating. It really is. What time period is this all involving? I mean, are we going back to the 1800s, 19-somethings, or
ho,
what?
Ho, ho. You mean from the stories themselves?
Yeah.
So I would say, I would talk about the people that told stories. The oldest age we have is maybe about 85, right? In terms of them going back into their memories. Yeah, so we're talking 85 years, right?
Yeah.
But some of the themes that are discussed are certainly historical
right.
themes.
I mean, like, would somebody 85 talk about what their grandfather told them? Which
that,
takes
that,
it back
that does
two
happen.
More generations.
Yeah, and I really hope and encourage that people visit smalltownbig.org/talkstory because that has the full talk story recordings between all of these intergenerational pairings. Whereas Richard's page, which is smalltownbig.org/ace, just has those little snippets. But if you listen to the full lengths, you're going to get what you're talking about.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Real quick, one last comment from each one of you.
Oh.
Quick.
I can't wait for people to come to EF Theater on Friday, April 1st at 4 p.m. It is free. Please join us. You won't be sorry, and it is not a joke.
Yes, please come to our unveiling on Friday, and we really hope to see this used to create connections between family and friend and the community.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Pamela. Or Penelope. Hello. Sorry about that. Close, right?
Close, yeah.
Yeah, should never mistake somebody's name. Penelope and Kelly. Thank you very much, and we will see you on Friday, I promise.
Thank you.
I will be there. I wouldn't miss it for anything. Oh, I don't want to stop. I want to keep talking.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, well, he's going to cut me off, though, if I do, so. We want to thank our listeners for the responses our agencies get from you regarding the activities that we talk about on this program. We also want to thank you for passing along the information we provide to those you know who may be in need. We had an interesting show today talking with Candace Johns and I'm losing my paperwork here. Joellen Kahelli of the DOE. And what they're doing to keep kids in school as parents find different housing issues in their lives. We've been talking with Kelly and with Penelope about Small Town Big Art. Actually, we talked about Small Town Big Stories, which is coming up on Friday at EAL Theater at 4 o'clock. Please check everybody's websites for more information with Maui Farm or yours is on... Where have you got this information?
Smalltownbig.org.
There we go. Smalltown.big. What?
Smalltownbig.
Oh, smalltownbig.org.
You got it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I think that means I've got to cut this short. Join us again next week, same time, same place. We'll feature two more agencies of the Maui Nonprofit Directors Association. I'm Susie Tiemann, Executive Director of Lokahi Pacific, and your host. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. Stay safe, stay healthy. Aloha.